Well, first, again, it's so nice to see everybody, and thank you very much to Tsippy for, again, arranging a beautiful event. If everyone could just start off on mute, but then you can take yourself off if you have any questions. I want this to be a little bit of a discussion. The title is The Flow of the Seder, or The Seder of the Seder, and it's hopefully going to be dealing with a lot of big picture questions that we might have had on the Seder, and to give a little bit of Seder, right? It's a little bit of organization to the Seder that we experience. There's a lot, we know that a lot of things that are supposed to happen, and there's like a little bit of a jumble of what's supposed to happen when. Everybody knows the exact order, obviously, because, right, you know the poem and the many different tunes to it, right? Kadesh Orchatz, or there's also Kadesh Orchatz Karpas Yachatz, or Kadesh Orchatz Karpas Yachatz. There's so many different tunes, so everybody knows the tunes to knows different tunes and knows the poem of the order of the things in the Seder. The challenge is to really let that guide us to what's supposed to be happening at the Seder. So if anybody has any questions, you can post in the group at any time, or you can take yourself off mute. Just to start, does anybody have any questions about basic order things of why we do things in the particular order we do at the Seder? Not talking about Magid. Magid itself would be it's at least another separate share of its own of why everything is in the order that it's in. In Magid, Magid is easily the longest part of the Seder, or should be easily the longest part of the Seder, and it'll take a separate shiur or two or three to properly explain the order there. I'm happy to do it at a future point. But now, Magid aside, meaning the different pieces of Magid, but the general picture, does anybody have any questions about the order of the placement of different steps of the 15 steps of the Seder? Of Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, Magid, Ratzel, right? So does anybody have any questions to start us off?
Maybe like why is Hallel like towards the end and like near Tzah?
Okay, so
like why is at the end, not Bari, because like we benched and like why do we
okay. So why you're asking why is Hallel near Tzah at the end, not earlier? Like we totally should end with Bari and then call it a night. Then Hallel near Tzah maybe should be earlier.
Yeah.
Right, and that would be a lot better because some of the near Tzah songs are really just so you know, there's a way to virtually raise your hand. It's you can get less tired. That's a virtually clap. Thank you. So maybe near Tzah, it's there's so many songs that are so fun for children, but usually they're out by that time. So you could say maybe it's to keep them up to that point so they can you know, you earn your Chad Gadya and your Echad Miyadeh, earn your sheep sounds. Right, but really shouldn't maybe those things should be earlier. Okay. Harav Yoshua Shmuel. You have a not an answer, a question, right? We're just questions now.
Question, yeah. A rebound off the previous question, just to perhaps add to it, that Hallel is actually split. We have a Hallel section, but yet there's a Hallel in Magid, so that if it's split, so you know, apparently there's a reason for that split. So why would we not only push Hallel all the way to the end, have part of it now, part of it later, save it for the Akhikam? It seems a little strange. Why would you do that?
Right. So there is definitely something strange that we start Hallel, right? The Halleluka, B'tzeis Yisrael and Mitzrayim, and then you know we're used to it, especially if you're singing. Then you're used to going to the next part, and then we skip to that. That's at the end of Magid, and then we do the rest of Hallel, the majority of Hallel, at the end of the Seder, at the point Julie mentioned. Rav Menachem Mendelshohn, you're going to say. Same thing? Different question?
I was wondering, Motzi and Matzah, are they one stage? Are they two stages? And if they are two stages, why are they two stages?
Ah, yeah. So is Motzi Matzah two steps? Is it just one step? And what an answer to the question might be, which might minimize some of the discussion, is just, is it just just a poem? Is it poetic? And sometimes we do certain things for the rhyme. Maybe it was Shulchan Aruch. We'll discuss this point also. Could be that it was the to fit the rhyme scheme, but maybe not. But I'm not really going to address that point other than that what I just said now. Okay. Any other questions, Haros, before we jump in, Jonathan?
Yeah. Besides Drum and RF, like, the other stuff involving, like, eating, I mean, like, car pods and, like, most Marcore, like, if we just, like, have to eat the sandwich and have to eat matzah, why can't we just do that during Shulchan Aruch? Like, what's the point of making a separate step for eating that specifically?
Okay, very good. Yeah. So it should be part of the whole meal, right? Shulchan Aruch, and matzah, maror, that should be... I mean, maror is in the meal, right? You're saying that it should be like, we should call it Shulchan Aruch and then matzah and then maror?
Like, within Shulchan Aruch, part of your, like, part of doing Shulchan Aruch is eating matzah, maror, maror. It should be part of your meal. Like, why keep it...
Okay, so, like, maybe have maror after the fish? Yeah, like, come on. We've been waiting so long. We sat through all of Magid. I can't have a little bit of fish, a little bit of soup, and then maror? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, good. Yes, good. Very good. Haley.
Sort of to, like, add and, like, tweak that question a little bit, why do we have to wash our hands twice as opposed to just washing our hands once and then eating bread and then doing all of that, like, all of the... Mar and Korech and all that, and then having our meal.
Okay, excellent. Meaning, let's do it, like, usually, I mean, I guess a different way to phrase what you're saying, which I think is such an important question, which is that we kind of, let's look at it as a regular Friday night. You know, that's really, I think, I'm going to get to Haley's question in a moment, because I think that's such an important question. And I think Jonathan's question does fit into that. Something I was talking to some of my Talmidim with it. We were talking about how Pesach is going to be different this year than many years, obviously, because of the current coronavirus situation. And, you know, Manashtana ha Pesach hazeh mikol ha-Pesachim, right? Why is this Pesach different from all the other Pesachs? And we were talking about how, you know, We ask the four questions at the Pesach Seder. We ask, you know, why is it matzah, the mar? And the questions really assume that our Pesach Seder looks like a regular Friday night with just some changes. But usually that's not the case. Whose Pesach Seder is usually very, very different from a regular Shabbos meal, matzah and mar aside, and leaning aside? Meaning, forget about the leaning difference for a second, forget about the dipping, forget about the matzah and the mar. Other than that, are there any big differences between your Shabbos table and your Pesach Seder? So yeah, only Tikva is yeah. Different, or only she knows how to do the cool thumbs up, right? So a lot of people really, like, our Pesachs are so different. You know, if you're on a Pesach program, right? Like, if you're wherever that beautiful place that looks like Tikva is, you're in Florida, or you're in Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, or you're upstate, wherever it might be, on some Pesach program, or you're in family's house, or you have the whole entire family over, and great Aunt Sadie usually isn't at Shabbos meals, but she's at my Pesach later this, right? Because so it's always so different. You're at your Pesach meal, and there's so much difference that we kind of, like, forget about the differences inherent in the Seder itself. And with this, you know, so what we're talking about it, and, like, this Pesach Seder for most people is probably going to look more like a regular Shabbos Yom Tov meal than all your Pesachs of the past, which is actually a beneficial point, because now we can actually appreciate, like, usually the Manashtana is child's play, literally, right? Because it's the questions that children are supposed to ask, but it's child's play because, like, everything is different on Pesach. But now it's going to feel a lot more like we can compare it to a regular Shabbos Yom Tov meal and actually highlight the differences. So let's talk about a regular Shabbos or Yom Tov meal. So how do we usually start? Let's say Yom Tov. Let's call it Yom Tov. What's the first thing we do at the Suda?
Kiddush.
Kaddish. You start with Kaddish. Then what?
Then we wash.
Wash Orchatz. Kaddish Orchatz or Rachtza. Motzi Chala. Shulchan Orech. Magid, right? Then someone says a Dvar Torah at some point, hopefully. Right? And then Barich. And then a Geschluffen, right? So usually on a Yom Tov night, you have Kadesh, Rachza, Motzi, Chala, Shulchan Aruch, Barich, and hopefully a Magid somewhere in there. So really one of the biggest differences, I think, now going back to Haley's question, is that, so, like, let's think about it. So what are some of the biggest differences? Like, so Kadesh and an Orchatz Karpas doesn't belong there on a regular Yom Tov night. You don't have Kiddush, and then all of a sudden, okay, before we start, everyone, just have a little bit of potato, a little bit of celery, a little bit of parsley, and then we're going to wash. Okay, so that's the difference, right? Big difference there. Okay, so usually it's kandesh or chatz karpas you don't have. And then yachatz, breaking the, we don't usually don't break a bread over here. Okay, lechem oni, okay. But we usually don't break the bread before motzi matzah. Okay, next. What's the next thing that's different after yachatz that's usually not the standard, not the norm of a yom tov? What's the next thing that's different?
Karpas.
Well, after karpas. Karpas, yachatz, now what? What's the next difference from a regular Shabbos or Yom Tov Suda and the Pesach Seder? Magid. Right, we do Magid now. That's pretty strange. Magid's pretty strange because of what was pointed out, is that I hope everybody has a Dvar Torah all your Shabbos and Yom Tov Suda. So it's an important thing to have. However, usually the Dvar Torah comes at what point of the Suda?
While everyone's eating.
People are eating their soup already. Like, don't I get most of all this all the time. Don't say the long Dvar Torah before the soup comes out. You know, don't. That's not the time when people are like they want when people are eating the soup. Then you could then I mean in general, long Dvar Torah at the soup is not always the best thing. But depends on the chevra. But and maybe Purim, I don't know. But but usually at the Suda you don't have the Dvar Torah, the Magid, you don't have that before the food comes out. People are really hungry. You don't do that then. That's a very strange thing. And I think that's really part of Haley's question there. We should have been doing Magid and I guess a few of you were really asking this. We should do Magid earlier. I'm sorry, later, first, right, so Kaddish or Chatz, for some reason, Karpas, Yachatz, then Motzi Matzah, right, Rochza, Motzi Matzah, and then Shulchan Orech, then a little bit of Maror, a little bit of Magid, and then Barech, right? That would make more sense. But for some reason, we have the Dvar Torah before the meal. And what's worse? What is so striking about this Dvar Torah that we have before the meal? That makes it even worse that is before the meal.
It's the longest story anybody could ever tell in their entire lives.
It's the longest Dvar Torah, the longest Suda Dvar Torah you hear all year. Yeah, right? There are longer stories. But it's a few chapters in Exodus. But it's the longest Dvar Torah at a Suda all year. And if it's not, then I don't know where you're going for Suda, but for Shabbos in general. It's so long. So that's like a big change. We have not just a Dvar Torah before the meal, between Kiddush and Hamotzi. We have a Dvar Torah that's really, really long. And then a question you have to ask right in here is that is the length really so necessary? I understand I understand the importance of having a Dvar Torah, but really if I wanted to, I could do the Pesach Magid in about 30 seconds. And meaningfully and beautifully, right? We're celebrating Pesach because we were slaves in Egypt. Paro, the Egyptians, they enslaved us. We were slaves. We suffered terribly. They committed infanticide, killing our children. And miraculously, Hashem brought 10 makos. Last one was Makos Bechoros, killed the firstborn. Paro said, get out of here. And we left Mitzrayim with an upraised arm, very proud, believing in Hashem. Okay, we brought a Korban Pesach. I mentioned that. Kriyas Yom Tov doesn't happen until the seventh day of Pesach. The last days of Yom Tov celebrate Kriyas Yom Tov. So now you're talking Kriyas Yom Tov. I just did all of Magid for you in about 30 seconds. Now, I'm sure you're wishing can we please hire you for the Seder? Can you come to our Seder and be Motzias in Magid in 30 seconds? So why is Magid so long? Why does it have to be so much longer than the Dvar Torah that I just gave? Anybody ever have this question before? A thumbs up if you've had it a little bit. Not saying you don't enjoy Magid. I'm not saying you don't. Tikva's the only one who knows how. Not saying you don't enjoy Magid. Meaning, it could be beautiful, but you still have to, I love Magid, but I acknowledge it's very long. So I think that's another important question to ask. Why does it have to be so long? And I guess don't we always have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Because there's an obligation every day, maybe twice a day, to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. We mention it in the third paragraph of Shema. We end off with the mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We say Birchas Kriya Shema, the bracha of Gal Yisrael, in the morning and at night is remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. What do we say about Shabbos and Kiddush? Shabbos is Zecher. Take a guess. Everyone's on mute. Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Tefillin is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Pidyon HaBen is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yom Tovim is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Everything. We have Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim all the time. So all of a sudden, we come to Pesach, and we need Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Really, we call it Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But what is that? Why is that different? Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay. There's a lot of questions. Maybe we'll... Can we handle like another one or two? Or is that too much? Are we already around? Three more. I'll do four questions. Four questions. Okay. So who is our special guest at every Seder, even this year in the era of COVID-19? Who is the special?
Eliyahu
Hanavi, Zechor Latov, joins the Seder. This year, I don't know. I don't know what people are going to do. He's going to knock at the door. They're going to give him Purell, put a mask over him, say, stay over there. We'll bring the wine to you. I don't know what's going to happen this year. But Eliyahu Hanavi comes. So what's awkward about his timing?
He's working.
It's at the end.
He's a little late, right? He comes to pizza and parsha like after the Dvar Torah. Sit down. There's like maybe a couple of fries left and there for the cleanup. That's Eliyahu Hanavi at the Pesach Seder. Yeah, like we said halach ma'anya kol dichven yesa v'yechol. Anybody who's hungry, come and eat. He's like, I'm good. And then he's like, oh my gosh, I overslept. I'm supposed to go to every Seder. So he runs. I mean, I understand. Like, it could be, Lemaisa, it could be that he just comes to my Seder late because he was at somebody else's. But did Eliyahu Hanavi come to anybody's Seder earlier? Did he show up to anybody's Seder on time? I don't know. So what is that? At the end. Right, really, like Mamash, at the end of the Seder, Shvoch HaMascha, we've basically done everything, and then he shows up. Oh, am I late? Yeah, Nirtza. Oh, okay. Oh, I love Chag Gadya. This is great. Like, what's he doing coming at such a late point? Which I guess a little bit goes to Julia's question of what is that doing at the end? Don't we usually end our Shabbos and Yom Tov Suda with Baruch, right? And and I guess in general, what Nirtza is about, what are these songs, what are we singing? I guess one more point about just back to Jonathan's point of Shulchan Orech, like what is that doing there? It's also strange. We call that thing the set table. Really, Shulchan Aruch is set table. Shulchan Orech is like setting a table, I guess. Orech as a Shulchan. Really, it's Ma'arech the Shulchan, but maybe setting a table. But it shouldn't be called Chow Time. Right? Shouldn't it be called Grab Some Grub? Okay, I know it doesn't fit in the poem so well, but there should be a better name than the set table. So the answer to all these questions, and this is the Seder of the Seder, and this is what really we're trying to accomplish, and it's that we're trying to accomplish Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're not trying to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. My father once said to me, he asked, did I ever tell you about when I was in the army? And I said, no, I didn't know. You were in the army? He's like, oh, no, sorry, that was someone else. Which is a very powerful, deep idea. Because what he's saying is that it's really hard to remember what you didn't experience. So he was trying to recall a story when he was in the army, and then he remembered he wasn't in the army, so he had no story to recall. What's going on is that the whole entire year we have an obligation of Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim. One of the Sheish Zechiros daily, we're supposed to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, how Hashem took us out. It's very important. There's so many lessons of faith for it. But the problem is that we can't remember Yetzias Mitzrayim if what? What makes it hard to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim?
We weren't there.
Yeah, Rachel said, we didn't experience it. We weren't there. We can't remember it. You remember? Oh, no, we weren't there. So what we need to do, Pesach night, is in order to generate the possibility of us remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, every time we say Shema, and every time that a man puts on tefillin, or that anybody celebrates Shabbos or Yom Tov, or a father does pidyon haben, in order to be able to achieve Yetzias Mitzrayim, a zechira of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we need to experience it, and that's what's happening Pesach night. There's something called Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, where we actually relive the story. Not we have a vart. Not we have like a Dvar Torah. This is the Dvar Torah of the meal. But it's where we have to create an experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right? The Gemara says, Chayav Adam Lerasas Asmo, Kilu Hu Yetzias Mitzrayim. Every generation, each individual has an obligation to see themselves, man, woman, and child, has an obligation to see themselves as if they are leaving Mitzrayim. And what Pesach night really is, what it becomes, is a play. It's like a play, a very important play, the most important play of the year, the most important play of a lifetime. But it's where everyone is in this play experiencing Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's why there's a lot of shtick at the Seder. That's part of it, right? That's why, you know, there's a lot of people, they walk around with the matzah over their shoulder, and Jacob, do you guys hit each other with the scallions? You do, right? So persons have a custom to whip each other with scallions, right? Because they're probably used scallions to whip you with the Egyptians probably. There's actually a beautiful reason for it, but not for now. But they go through things to add the drama, to create the feeling. And some people do an extra shtick. I know somebody who wears like a paro, like a pharaoh, like a headdress to the Seder. I've worn different things. If anybody remembers Escape Mitzrayim, Escape the Room. So that I've worn that costume actually at the Pesach Seder before. Happens to be. So we do things for to add the drama, because we're supposed to be reliving Yetzias Mitzrayim. And every part of it, every single part of the Suda is that. It's trying to relive that and to create questions and acknowledge the difference in the Seder night. That's why, before we start the Seuda, we have the Dvar Torah, or the beginning, right? We have Magid. First of all, we can't do Magid in 2 minutes or 30 seconds, because that's just the Dvar Torah, that's Zechira, but we need a time we're going to experience Sipur, so we start off speaking at length about Yetzias Mitzrayim, the background, how we got there in the first place, right? Arami Ovid Avi and Lavan and all this thing that snowballed and downward spiral into us being in Mitzrayim, the assimilation that took place, the worshiping of Avodah Zarah, and then there's some certain psukim, and again, not I don't want to elaborate on Magid now, because it won't can't possibly do Magid justice, and Magid needs a separate shir, but Magid goes into the details of the story so you can appreciate what's going on in the story. And then after we do that, then we can have the matzah and the maror, because why are we eating matzah and maror? What are we trying to do? What are you trying to do? Why do we eat matzah? Why do we eat maror?
Because we want to feel like we're like in their situation, like coming out of Egypt.
Right. So the important word there is feel like. Not we want to remember. We want to feel like it. We say, Ha'alach ma'anya, this is the thing that they ate. We are there. And if you would do that before Magid, let's say you do save Magid for the Dvar Torah, of the meal after Motzi Matzah. So you just ate matzah, you just ate maror, and you don't know why you did it. That's why before we do that, at the end of Magid, basically, we have the matzah. We say this matzah zu, right? Maror zu, this maror, this matzah. This is what it's for. This is what, and the Karban Pesach when we had it. This is what it's for. This is what it's about. That when you eat the matzah, you eat the maror, you should actually be feeling as if you are there. By karpas, when you're tasting the right, so everybody knows, why do we have salt water? Why do we dip the karpas in salt water? What does salt water mean for us? Two different answers, the same idea.
It's like the tears.
The tears. The tears of whom?
The Jews.
The tears of the Jews in Mitzrayim. Okay, what's the other answer, which is similar and the same idea? Other salty water. Sorry?
The Yamsuf.
Oh, I never heard that one. Have you heard that one? Snipes, the sweat.
I'm thinking about.
Right? I think most famously, the tears and the sweat of the Jews, meaning that when you're tasting it, you should close your eyes for a moment. And when you taste the salt water, you should think, like, imagine yourself as if you're working in Egypt with the heavy bricks over your back. And when you taste it, imagine that's coming from your sweat or your tears. Imagine that. When you're eating the maror, you should close your eyes and try to envision what this is bitter, if it is bitter, right? You should. For me, it's very bitter. I have OAS, oral allergy syndrome, and I can't have raw vegetables, and maror is like the hardest thing for me. It's horrible every year. But for anybody else, it's not as bad. But I mean, if you do horseradish, but that you should envision yourself as if you are actually experiencing Yetzias Mitzrayim, or actually Shibud Mitzrayim, the enslavement, the bitterness of that. And after that, after you've had, right, so you did motzi, matzah, and maror, and korech, which is the same idea. Korech is just a different possible way to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah and maror, to have it together. Beautiful lessons in that, but not for now. It's just for our purposes, it's the same idea. Motzi, matzah, maror, korech is all really one piece of experiencing that shibud, that slavery, the bitterness, the pain, the suffering. And then what happens? After that, when you've experienced that painful suffering, you feel like you're there, then Shulchan Orech. Then you have a beautiful Su'uda. What does that symbolize? What's the beautiful Su'uda? What does that mean? Why are we having a beautiful Su'uda?
Kind of like we're princes and stuff.
We're royalty. We're malachim. Kings and queens. We are royal. We are free. We went from terrible, terrible suffering to freedom, to beauty, to plenty. Look at our set tables. Or Shulchan Orech, my ability to set the table. Look, I am setting the table now. I was a slave. Minutes ago, I was a slave. But I went from Mishiba Ligula. I went from slavery to freedom. This is incredible. Look at my meal. Meaning, Shulchan Aruch is not, okay, you guys sat through a long maggid, you earned it. Here's the matzah ball soup you've been waiting for if you eat gebrucks. This is all, now you deserve it. Or this is a regular Shabbos Suda. No. It's not a regular Yom Tov Suda. This is part of reliving the redemption from Mitzrayim. It's part of the play. When you eat and you're sitting at this, you should say, I am royal, pass me the fish. Right, not to be royal, to be disrespectful to other people. I am the king, you serve me, because everybody's the king, right? And of course, all of us are, all of us have sheikhs to queens, obviously. But this idea of us being kings and queens is experiencing the redemption from Mitzrayim. It's part of it. That's why everything kind of is like kind of jumbled into it. It's part of Hallel being divided, that this is really, the middle part is also part of the hollow. It's also the praising Hashem for the redemption. And that's really the first part of the Seder. So Kadesh, we make Kiddush. You always start off with Kiddush. And then Orchatz, Karpas, kind of to show that something's different about tonight, that we have an appetizer, but like, let, we have an appetizer, let's get your appetite going. But let me take you on a journey, says the Baal Seder. Let me, right, Kadesh, we said Kadesh, we have an Orchatz Karpas, we wash our hands for and have an appetizer, but now let me take you on a journey, everybody. Please join me and jump into this experience of the Pesach Seder. Join me for this experience. And then you jump in, and then it's yachatz. You break the matzah and say, this is the bread of affliction. Yachatz is the first part, and then magid. Kiddush. Oh, grape juice. Yes, thank you so much, David Mordechai, for bringing me grape juice. he heard kaddish, and he just brought it up here. So kaddish, orchatz, karpas, yachatz, and then magid, we're experiencing the talking about, this is what we're about to do, and we were slaves, and there were 10 makos, and we go through each one of them and experience them. Oh, that was horrible, and take out some wine from the cup, and everything we're doing is experiencing that. And then we go from Magid into Motzi Matzah. Taste the matzah. This is what the matzah they had. This is when they left Mitzrayim. This is what they ate when they were in Mitzrayim. We ate the maror. Wow, it was so bitter. Korech, matzah, maror together. This so bitter, such slavery. And then, Shulchan Orech, we were free. Amazing, incredible. We were freed from Mitzrayim. And and we're kings, and we're royal, and we're B'nai Chor, and free people. Incredible. And then we say Baruch, and we thank Hashem for Baruch. And that's the Seder of the Seder. That's what's going on Pesach night. I don't know how much longer we have, but then what happens after that? So then after Baruch, so as Julia said, so now it should be game over, right? Show's done. Baruch, we benched. Everyone go to sleep. Right, make sure you go in your walking groups home. Not this year, really not any year, especially at the Pesach Seder when people usually stayed in their houses. So what's going on after that? And then we have Baruch, we have Hallel and Nirtza. And who just showed up?
Eliyahu
and Navi. So we thank Hashem, we praise Hashem, incredible for what you did for us in Mitzrayim. And then what really Hallel speaks about, though, the beginning of Hallel speaks more about the Yitzias Mitzrayim, Betzeis Yisrael and Mitzrayim, and then as the rest of Hallel goes on, that rest of Hallel, the Gemara explicitly says that's speaking about future redemptions, Mashiach, Olam Haba. The Gemara says this is the great one of the great milestones of Hallel that talks about very pivotal events in Jewish history and future yet to come. And right when we're talking and praising Hashem for the future redemption, so who shows up again? Eliyahu HaNavi shows up to the Seder. Why? What is Eliyahu known for? What's he, what relevance does Eliyahu HaNavi have here? What do we know about Eliyahu? Why are we awaiting Eliyahu?
He represents Geula.
Eliyahu HaNavi is the Mevaser Tov. He's the one who heralds in the Mashiach. He's the one, right, at Motzai Shabbos. Mashiach can't come on Shabbos. And therefore, we don't await Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach coming on Shabbos. We Motzai Shabbos is the first opportunity again that Mashiach can come. So that's why Motzai Shabbos is so connected to Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi at the Malava Malka. We await Mashiach. So Eliyahu HaNavi is coming to our Seder. He's ready to bring in the Gula because the earlier part of the Seder, he's not late. He's waiting because Eliyahu HaNavi wasn't around in Yetzias Mitzrayim. He's not there for Yetzias Mitzrayim. He's there for the future Gula. He's getting us ready for the future Gula. So Eliyahu HaNavi comes right at the right time. He's like, you experienced Yetzias Mitzrayim for real? You did it properly? You experienced it? You felt it? Great, now I'm here. I'm ready to come because now that we believe in the previous Geula, now we have to believe in the future Geula as well. I'm going to lead you to the future Geula. Now that you've experienced it and you believe about Yetzias Mitzrayim, you believe that it happened, you believe the promise of the Mesorah that was passed down to your parents and to your teachers, and they passed it down to you. You believe that now. So now you can also believe that God can make miraculous redemption again. Now we can talk about the future. And that's what's going on in Nirtza, in all the songs of Nirtza, this beautiful redemption, the songs about praising the majesty of God, that no one is like Hashem in the ability to do anything, and especially to save us. And then we go to these messianic, beautiful songs that, you know, are fun, and there's great shtick in the songs, but they're so deep and so powerful and so meaningful. Echad mi odeya, chad gadya. I'll take 1 minute just to explain how beautiful these are. Echad mi odeya is us connecting everything back to Hashem. It's that we... you have a Rav Yisho? Shmuel, you have a comment? Before I explain these songs in Nirtza, yeah.
Yeah, because, and actually it's perfectly placed because this is just before Nirtza. Mm-hmm. Hallel, which we spoke about, that was asked about. Why did we split Hallel, or why did we save some of Hallel for the end? But this is what the Abar Benel says. There are two parts to Hallel. One is going on Mitzrayim, and one is going on the Shira Chadasha for the Geula to come.
Mm-hmm. The Rav Benel is based on the Gemara. The Gemara says that. The Gemara talks about the Milos of Hallel, and part of it is that it references different parts, different redemptions, past, future, meaning like Mashiach, and then even Olam Haba, is mentioned in it. Yeah. And then as we get into Nirtza, and Nirtza is the songs of just connecting to God, connecting to belief in Him, to understand how much He loves us, to understand that everything we've been through is ultimately for us to be able to get closer to Him. That's the experience of Nirtza. I'll share quickly. Echad Miyodeya is saying that we've reached a level where we say that everything is Hashem. Everything connects back to Hashem, right? Right? You tell me the number one. What do I think? Echad Elokeinu Shebashamayim Uvaretz. I think about Hashem is one. You say two. Oh, two. You say two. I hear luchos. Oh, luchos. Ah, Hashem is one. Shemayim Vaaretz. You tell me five. You tell me six. You tell me nine. Nine. No, that's the numbers of pregnancy. Oh, nine. Well, eight is days of Milah. Seven is days of Shabbos. Everything connects you back to Echad. Hashem is one. Echad Hashemayim Vaaretz. I get up to 13, and I bring everything back. And you know what's special about the number 13? 13 is, what, does anybody know the gematria? Or what word is gematria 13? Echad.
I gotta go. Thank you so much. Bye.
Echad is gematria 13. Echad, one. The oneness of Hashem is 13. Everything brings us back to the oneness of Hashem. And what's the next song after that? Chad Gadya. Chad Gadya means one little goat. And that one little goat, of course, is a remiss to what? Who's the one little goat in the parable? Mendel, right? Us, right? No matter what, there's the cat, the dog, they're all stronger than the one little goat. But Hashem says at the end of the day, Chad Gadya, Chad Gadya. We say at the end of Echmida, Echad Elokeinu Shebashamayim Uvaretz. There's just one Hashem, and Hashem says at the end of the day, Chad Gadya, Chad Gadya, that's what I care about. It's this developed relationship that we see Hashem as one, Hashem sees us as one. That's what we've achieved, this oneness with Hashem. Hashem's name will be one. We'll be so connected to Hashem. That's the goal. That's what we try to reach Seder night. That's the right. That, and after some people say Shir Shirim, Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, Hashem is for me and I am for Hashem. That we've achieved this unity with Hashem, this perfection in the world. No more suffering. No more slavery. No more affliction. Just redemption and oneness with Hashem. And that's what's supposed to be achieved in Seder night. And it's been a crazy couple of months. It hasn't even been a couple of months. I mean, I guess nationally, internationally, it has been, but it's been a crazy couple of months. We're very much yearning for the Gula. People who weren't yearning for a Gula before, who didn't realize what Shivud we were in, are now yearning for the Gula more than ever. And the Gemara says, Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, says, B'Nisan Nigalu, B'Nisan Hasidu Higael, that we were redeemed in the month of Nisan, and in the future we will be redeemed in the month of Nisan. May that, Yud Hashem, be true for this Nisan. Have a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. So nice to see everybody. Thank you for joining.